morning, everyone. So good to see all of you. You know, one of the songs that our band did this morning is a song called Your Love is Everything. And one of my favorite lines of that song is the bridge, and where it says, "You keep no record of my sin. You don't remember all my shame." And I think that line is huge because the truth is, you know, we're doing a series called Hostage. And in the series, we are looking at the things that really trap us in life. And so we've talked about bitterness. We've talked about addictions. We've talked about worry. And usually in those situations, what happens is we tend to make choices. Choices that we regret. Choices that we're ashamed of. And it's great that we have songs like that to remind us that in those moments when we make those mistakes, when we have those regrets, that God looks beyond that. He looks past that, and he's ready for us to move beyond that as well. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at anger and talking about that. Now, some of you may be saying, well, wait, the last time you talked about bitterness. Now you're talking about anger. Aren't they the same thing? You know? And it really is a legitimate question, but I'm approaching it differently because I think that there are some huge differences between bitterness and between anger. And so in addressing bitterness, what I really wanted to encourage you to do is to look at your life and look at, are there things that you are holding on to, grudges that you are holding on to, things that have happened in your past that you have not moved beyond, and that it was so vital for you to forgive and move beyond that bitterness. And this morning we're going to talk about anger. Now, I am talking about them, and I'm looking at them from very different perspectives. And what is that perspective? Well, when I talk about bitterness, when we looked at bitterness, remember we looked at bitterness as a way of life. That we've gotten into this thing and we're holding on to this thing. And now this thing that we're holding on to has gotten to a point where now this anger, this bitterness, this hurt, it now defines us and who we are. This morning in looking at anger, I'm just looking at that moment, that situation, that instance, that event. That circumstance that you run into that just sets you off. And here's what usually happens is when we don't have healthy ways of dealing with those situations that set us off, that moment that finds us angry. When we don't have healthy ways of dealing with that, that's when that anger, when we hold on to it, we rehearse it, we go through that instance over and over again, and we refuse to let go of the event. When we don't have healthy ways of dealing with our anger, that's when it can move to bitterness. But it doesn't have to. And so this morning, we're going to look at being able to, how do we handle things that happen in that moment? Now, there's another difference that you will see, and this is why I wanted to differentiate it as well. When you look through the Bible, you'll see that there is a difference between bitterness and anger. For example, as you read through the Bible, you'll see passages that challenge you, forgive, do not hold on to your bitterness, move beyond it, do not let any bitter root grow in you. You will find those passages, but you will never find a passage in the Bible that says, do not be angry. You will never find that. And why? Because the truth is, it's okay for you to be angry. Matter of fact, if there are certain situations that do not make you angry, you're unhealthy. You're unhealthy. So it's okay for you to be angry. It's okay for you to have those moments where you're frustrated. The issue is, how do we handle those times? And so hopefully, as a result, when we looked at bitterness and we talked about it, hopefully you were able to forgive. Hopefully you were able to move beyond that. And now, in looking at this, we're going to look at how do you deal with that moment. And why is it so important, I think, for us to deal with anger? What is the cost of anger in our lives? I found some quotes that I wanted to share with you guys that I thought was great. Here's the first quote. The author is unknown, but it says, "Anger is one letter short of danger." I thought that's so right on. Here's another one by Will Rogers. "People who fly into a rage always make a bad landing." I thought that one was great. Here's a Korean proverb that says, "If you kick a stone in anger, you'll only hurt your own foot." And then here's another one from Lemony Snicket. It says, "Temper tantrums, however fun they may be to throw, rarely solve whatever problem is causing them." And I think all of those are so right on. Why is anger potentially so dangerous? And I just think about that one instance, that one moment, that one circumstance, that one situation, where if we do not control our anger and we allow ourselves to be set off and really give full vent and full bore and full blow to our anger, we say things, we do things. And then as a result of how we react, as a result of how we responded, now we see ourselves being held hostage to this situation in our lives because we're having to go back constantly and apologize and trying to make things right for how much we messed things up because we didn't handle the situation very well. So here's my question, and you can write the answer down in your notes. What situations set you off? What are they? What situations set you off? Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Go back at your life and look at the times where you have been angry. Just go back and examine that. And there will be a tendency that you will find that there's a pattern in your life of what you do and what sets you off when you get angry. You'll find that pattern. For me, I usually, you can do something to me, I'll hardly ever get angry. It's just the way that I'm wired. Some ways it's unhealthy. I'm learning to deal with it and express, you know, what's going on inside of me when someone does something to me. But I hardly ever blow up if you do something to me. But if you do something to someone I love, you will see a whole other side of me that you never thought existed. Man, there have been so many times I go into what's called protect mode, you know. And then what happens is, because you mess with people I care about, man, it's on, brother. And I will go after you. And I've had to apologize for more things that I have done wrong in that instant because I lost control because I was trying to protect someone that I care about. Prime example, this must have happened when I was still in high school, but I was wrestling around with my stepbrother and everything, and then my sister walked into the room, and my sister's 10 years younger than both my stepbrother and me. And so what happens is my stepbrother grabs my sister and starts wrestling with my sister. And my sister's like, no, stop, I don't want to wrestle, stop. You know, and so I'm starting to get a little frustrated. And then my sister starts crying, and he doesn't let her up. So then protect mode kicks in. So I went after my brother, I grabbed him, and I threw him on the ground, and he jumped up, and he was like, so what's up, man? Yeah. You know, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, hey, you made Ebony cry. You don't do that to my sister. He's like, well, you know, she's my sister too. But, you know, in that moment, I was like, man, you don't do that. You don't do that. And my stepbrother in the family had kind of a bad reputation because he didn't hang out with the best people. He hung out with gangbangers and stuff like that. And he's been in fights. And the truth is, I knew my stepbrother, if we went at it, could probably hand it to me. And so he jumped up. He's like, man, I will take you out. And I looked at him and I said, we'll fight, but it'll be a fight you will never forget. And then he looked at me, and then we both started laughing. You know, because it's like, this is dumb, why are we fighting, you know, kind of deal. But that's what happened is you do something to somebody I care about, and rawr, you know, it just comes out. And so I'm learning, I won't say I've learned, but I'm learning to better handle those types of situations. But that's my question for you. What's your moment? What are your situations? What are the things that really get under your craw? Those things that really set you off. It's so important for you to find the answer to that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Now, you might remember we talked about this passage with bitterness as well. But I think that there are some things I really want to go back to that I think are really key. Because in that passage it says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. In other words, what it's saying is you need to deal with this quickly. Don't let it settle in. The longer it takes for you to deal with the circumstance that made you angry, the more likely you are to become bitter. So it's saying deal with it as quickly as possible. Don't let the sun go down. And then I love that part where it says, in your anger, do not sin. So again, it's saying it's okay for you to be angry. It's okay for you to be angry. Because I think some of us, what we have a tendency to do is we go back and we look at our anger and you know, what our tendency is, we're so angry that we look at what we've done with our anger and we think, you know what, that's unhealthy. So I'm just not going to get angry. I actually went to a church once, and the pastor got up at the church and said, anger is a sin. And I couldn't stand up in the church and go, oh, no, because it's not true. You will never find a passage, because God got angry, but the Bible said God does not sin. So anger in and of itself is not a sin. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. But some of us, because we've done so many things, you know, so terrible when we've been angry, we think, well, I'm just not going to get angry. Well, that's, you know, don't pass go, don't collect $200, you're going straight to bitterness with that one. So we really need to find healthy ways of being able to deal with what's going on inside of us. I found this other quote. I thought this was great. It says, for every minute you are angry, you lose 60 seconds of happiness. And I think that that's so right on as well. Have you ever had an unwanted guest? You know, people that come by. And I'm the kind of person where, like, if I don't know that you're coming, I don't like to open my door, you know, kind of deal. And so what I'll do sometimes is if you knock on my door and I don't know that you're coming, I can go to my office, and right, my office is right next to the door. And so we have the kind of a curtain over our window where I can look out the window and look directly at you, but you don't see me, but I see you. And if I don't know you're coming, like if you're some advertiser kind of deal, you will just stand and knock at my door because I'm not opening it. But there have been those times, because we also have one of those doors where it's a regular door and then there's like a glass that's over like the top of it. And if I stand up on my tippy toes, I can kind of look out and see who's there. And so, you know, someone knocked on my door once, and I wasn't thinking, and I went and I looked out, and I said, oh. You know, kind of deal. I was thinking, did they see me? And I heard, and I was like, I could tell by the knock, they saw me, you know, kind of deal. So I had to open the door. But then sometimes there are those people that come over your house, and initially you're happy that they're there. You're like, great, come on in. Maybe even there are people that you knew were coming. You're like, this is great. It's kind of fun, and you're hanging out. But there are those people that come over, and you're it's fun to hang out with them for a while, but they don't know when to leave. You know those people, right? And you give them the hints like, and they just don't get it. And you start saying things like, you know, it's been a long day. And they'll go, it's been a long day too. And then they start telling you about your day. And you're like, I just want my day to be shorter. Get out of my house. You know, kind of deal. So then you leave and put your pajamas on, turn the lights out, and they're still sitting there talking, watching TV, kind of deal. That word in the Bible where it says, do not give the devil a foothold. That Greek word that is used for that literally means room. Do not give him a room. So what happens is, when you allow that anger to continue to persist, maybe you get full vent, full bore to your anger. Maybe you allow it to start to become bitterness. Well, it's like opening up a room in your house to that unwanted guest and saying, hey, here's a bedroom for you, hang out. No, it's not healthy. And so that's why God wants you to make a commitment to deal with it so that you can move forward, so that you can grow. And so it really is a challenge. It really is a challenge. So how do we know if our anger is unhealthy? How do we know that? So here's what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at two types of people when it comes to anger. And these are two wrong ways of handling our anger, but I think it's important for us to look at it. Here's the first one. Spewers. Spewers express it. Spewers express. And I know that some of you are going, well, Pastor Ken, spewer is not really a word. And I will say, so what? I know it's not a word, but I just like it. But I looked at the word spew, and here's what it says in the dictionary, in the definition of spew. It says vomit, to come forth in a flood or gush, to ooze out as if under pressure, to send or cast forth with vigor or violence or in great quantity. Like when a volcano spews ash and lava. Some of you are spewers when you're angry. And you do. You blow up. You blow up and you just lose it. You don't send out angry emails. You send like angry e-post offices. Because you are so angry. And you CC, BCC, you're just angry. You don't just get it off your chest. You get it off your stomach, your back, your knee, big toe. Because you just get it out there. It says this in Proverbs 29:11. A fool, it says good in your notes, maybe a good fool, but a fool gives full vent to his anger. But a wise man keeps himself under control. That's huge. A wise man keeps himself under control. And you might not be comfortable. I didn't like, you know, reading a passage that calls me a fool. I mean, it's uncomfortable. But when you think about, when we blow up in anger, don't we do foolish things? We say foolish things. We act foolish ways. So it's so important for us to really make a commitment to keep our anger out of, keep our anger under control. I think of one situation that happened a couple of years ago. As soon as I say this name, you already know what I'm talking about. Alec Baldwin, right? Phone call to his daughter. I was actually going to play a clip of the phone calls for you guys to hear, but I can't play it at church. It was really bad. I mean, in this message, here's one thing I can say. Here's what he was talking to his, I think his 11 or 12-year-old daughter, but he gave full vent to his anger. And one of the things he said to his daughter is, "You are a rude, thoughtless little pig." I mean, to your daughter? But those are the kind of things we do. How abusive do we get? Maybe with our actions, maybe with our words. When we let our anger get so far out of control. And then in those moments, we destroy our marriage. We destroy our relationships. You know, boyfriends and girlfriends are broken up over issues of anger being expressed in unhealthy ways. We lose our jobs. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the consequences that are the result of people who spew when it comes to their anger. So I really want to challenge you to ask yourself, am I a spewer? And then there's a second type of person, and that's a stewer. Stewers suppress it. Stewers suppress it. You stew. You hold it in. You let it build. You let it bubble. Stewers tend to be passive aggressive. They'll never yell at you, but they'll spit in your coffee. Here's your latte, you know. But they'll do things like that. They'll burn your toast. But they're angry, but they just express it. And you know what usually happens, right? The spewer dates the stewer, and then the spewer marries the stewer. So one person's yelling all the time, the other person's always hurt, kind of deal in the relationship. But I think it's so important because both are unhealthy. I came across a study in Prevention Magazine. I didn't buy it. I was reading it at the, you know, line, you know, grocery store. But in that, it had an article on anger. So I was just reading through it. And it was saying, because most people think, you know, when it comes to anger, if you hold it in, it's unhealthy. Well, in that, they had just come across a new study. And in that study, they found out if you are people who blow up in your anger, that is also just as unhealthy as people who hold their anger in. So both are potentially physically damaging to our body and to what goes on. But stewards, we hold it in. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, "The Lord came to Cain, 'What's wrong with you? Why do you have such an angry look on your face? If you'd done the right thing, you would be smiling. But you did the wrong thing, and now sin is waiting to attack you like a lion. Sin wants to destroy you, but don't let it.'" So what happens is when we stew, when we hold it in, what it does is it increases the potential danger of sin. In other words, it increases the potential danger of us acting out in a way that is unhealthy as well. And then have you noticed this with stewers? Something happens, they get mad, but they never say anything. Another thing happens, they get mad and never say anything. And then when they finally blow up, this thing's like, "You took an extra French fry." Because they've been building and building and building. So when they finally blow, it's over things that are really insignificant. So you really have no idea what they're mad at. You think it's a French fry. It's a big deal. But it's because they've been holding all of this stuff in and never dealing with it. with the issues. So you're like a pressure cooker when you are a steward. You're like a tea kettle waiting to just... But you're just waiting. So again, that is also very, very unhealthy. And I found another example of this in the Bible. There was a story of a guy who went to his dad and he said to his dad, "Hey, Dad, I don't want to wait till you die. So can I have my inheritance now?" It's kind of rude to ask kind of deal, but he did it. So his dad gives him his inheritance. He goes off. He has a good time, ignores the family, ignores responsibility, just does whatever he wants to do. Hard times hit. He's blown it all. He's lost it all. He decides, "I'm going to go back to my dad and apologize." So he does. He goes back to his dad. He apologizes. And his dad is like, "My lost son is back. This is awesome. Let's throw a party." Well, there was a son who stayed. And here's what happens with the son who stayed. It says in Luke chapter 15, verse 28, "The older brother," which is the one who stayed, "became angry and refused to go." "I'm not going to that party. I'm not walking in." What was he doing? He was stewing. He was stewing. And I can understand why. I mean, if you're the good one, you know, the bad one comes back and there's a party for him, I can understand why you would stew. But the issue is, it's still unhealthy. It's still unhealthy. And the father comes out and talks to him and, you know, deals with his son, and, you know, they're able to move beyond that. But I really want to challenge you. These are the two ways when it comes to our anger where it can be very unhealthy, that we tend to react, that we tend to respond. So you might be realizing, like, as you go through it, because half of you said, "Well, that one's me," and the other half said that the other one's me. So what do I do? How do I move beyond this? How do I get to a point where I can start having anger and dealing with it in a way that's healthy, where I don't become a bitter person? How do I do that? So what do you do? What do I do with my anger? Here's the issue. Unhealthy anger, here's the solution. Deal with it. I know some people are going, "Man, I was hoping for something a little deeper than that, Ken." You know? But the truth is, deal with it. You need to deal with it. It says in Proverbs 17:14, "Starting a quarrel is like a leak in a dam, so stop it before a fight breaks out." A lot of times when we're angry, we quarrel. We quarrel. We go back and forth. We yell back and forth. The issues are going on kind of deal. But here's the problem is, we never really deal with the issue because we're too busy quarreling, right? So what I'm challenging you to do is, usually what happens when we're angry is we attack the person, not necessarily the problem. And so what I'm encouraging you to do is, in that moment, is look at, hey, how can we work towards solution? How can we deal with this? How can we move forward? So what about you? What are your moments? You're driving down the street, the kids are screaming in the back seat. You slam on the brakes to get them to shut up. Does that really work? Not really, but it feels good. You know? But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. What we need to do is we need to learn how to handle them. Maybe there's a coworker, person that you work with, that just knows how to push your buttons. You see the person coming and you're like, you know, kind of deal. You just want to avoid them kind of deal. What I'm encouraging you to do, learn how to deal with it. Learn how to deal with it. Maybe you got into an argument with your boyfriend, an argument with your girlfriend, maybe you got into an argument with your husband or with your wife. I want to challenge you, instead of quarreling, look for a solution, and how can you move beyond this impasse and not be stuck? Maybe you're angry at yourself. Maybe you decided that you really wanted to change, but you keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. So now you are angry with you. I was reading another study, and they were saying that that's one of the greatest causes of depression. So we're just so angry and frustrated with ourselves. How do we move beyond that? We need to know that we're forgiven. We need to recognize the forgiveness that God has given us, accept that, and be able to move forward so that we can move forward and really begin to grow. We talk about this in our marriage class, that when it comes to dealing with those situations that set you off, there are four ways that you can respond. You could say, you've offended my rights, which usually ends up in a quarrel. You could say, retribution, you owe me. You owe me. I can't believe you make, I'm going to make you feel the way that I feel right now. But retribution, again, usually ends up quarreling. Revenge, usually ends in quarreling. Or responsibility. Responsibility. In other words, I have a responsibility, even if I'm angry, I can work through this, and I have a responsibility to you so that we can move forward through this, so that you can move forward through this, so that we can go toward a solution and have a great friendship, relationship, working, you know, whatever type of relationship it might be. But I have a responsibility. So again, all of those choices, they're up to you. And I know that some of you are saying, well, Ken, it's not easy. Controlling my anger is not easy. Is it? How about this? Ring, ring. Hello? Right? What have we just done? We've just controlled it. Hello? I mean, we don't do that when we answer the phone. Because it could be like, mom or something. No, we control it. So if I can control it in an instant, in that moment, then that means that I can control it. Rather than blowing up, I can control what's going on internally so that we can work through this and deal with this and move forward. Rather than stewing, I can look at what's going on internally and move forward so that we can move towards health. And ultimately, that's the goal, is to move towards health. There's another kind of anger that I wanted to spend some time addressing, because I think it's an anger that's really important, and I think it's also an anger we have a tendency not to act on. I call it loving anger. I call it loving anger. So when we have loving anger, what should we do? We should build and use it. We should build and use it. So you might be asking, well, what is loving anger? What do you mean by that? It says in Proverbs 13:23, a poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. Injustice sweeps it away. There are certain situations sometimes that we see others go through that really makes us angry. Some of you are angry because of poverty, because of the poverty that exists in our world. Did you know that 1 in 7 people go to bed hungry every night? 1 in 7. People in the world go to bed hungry every night. 1 in 7 people in the world do not have clean water. I mean, that's crazy. You look at just the outbreak of just diseases and things that people are wrestling with. Did you know that there are 38 million people in the world today that have AIDS? I mean, that's amazing. What about children that suffer from preventable diseases? Did you know that every minute 20 kids die from diseases that are preventable? In the world, there are over 1 billion people who live below the poverty line. So sometimes we see things like that. It makes us angry. Remember in the 80s, Michael Jackson got together with, you know, We Are the World. Remember that? You know, they all got together, they did that kind of deal. And well, here's what I found out. They raised up all of this money. They purchased all of this food to feed the Ethiopian people. They shipped this food over to Ethiopia. The Ethiopian government received the food and put the food in warehouses and said, we will not release this food until the people do what we want them to do. So that food that they sent for people who were starving, it sat in warehouses and it rotted, and the people who were hungry never ate. How evil is that? How sick is that? So we see those kind of things, and loving anger could be something that God uses to trip something inside of us that causes us to want to do something in this world that's going to make a difference. My wife and I experienced this. It's always been my wife and I, it's always been our plan to adopt children, but we watched Hotel Rwanda. And then there was, when you rent the movie, there's also, you know, a documentary that goes with it. And in a documentary, it talks about just the injustice that happened, even to children. And now there were so many orphans in Rwanda because of it. And so we were moved. And so my wife and I, we decided we're going to adopt kids. We're going to adopt orphans. And so we're in the process of trying to adopt. We want to adopt a brother and sister from Ethiopia. And so be praying for us. We are hopefully about a month away from all of our paperwork being done. Then once that's done, we have about maybe another year or so before we receive, you know, our children from Ethiopia. But, you know, it moved us, and we decided to do something about it. You look at what happened with the victims of Hurricane Katrina, sometimes how long it took them to get aid, and it made people angry. See, my challenge is that loving anger that may have been pricked in your heart, respond to what God is doing and maybe do something about it. Begin to allow your life to count. Begin to invest in others as a result and begin to make a difference. Jesus Christ was hanging out with these guys, and it was on a day that was called the Sabbath day. And basically on the Sabbath day, you were not supposed to work. And these guys actually considered healing someone of their sickness, of their disease. They actually considered healing someone work. And so Jesus was just irritated by it. Here's what it says in the passage in Mark chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and the hand was completely restored. Because basically this guy came to Jesus and said, hey, could you heal me? And the people were like, well, you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do that kind of thing. And so Jesus says, look, if you had an ox and your ox fell in a hole on the Sabbath, would you just leave your ox in a hole all day? Would you help your ox? And the people refused to answer. Because, of course, they knew what the answer would be. You'd help your ox. And so Jesus was so irritated by that. Because they made the rule more important than human life. And so what did he do? He healed the guy. He was moved. And he healed the guy. One of our goals as a church is we really desire for church to be cities to be known as a loving church. And one of the ways that we can do that is really begin to look at what are the elements in the community that we live in, whether you're from Manhattan Beach, Torrance, or whatever area, Hawthorne, whatever area you live in, what are the things that are going on in my community that I can do something about? What are the ways that I can get involved here at Church of the Beach Cities and allow my life to count and make a difference in those areas that I see that have really pricked my heart where I can begin to invest in others and make a difference? So here's my question. You can write this in your notes as well. What is your loving anger? What's the one thing that you look at things that are going on and it really sets you off? See, for me, this is where, this also drives home. I work with junior high and high school students. And I love what it is that I do. And one of the main reasons why is because I look at the messages that our high school and junior high are being told. And basically they're being told, you know, you're young, so because you're young, you can do anything that you want to. And there really aren't any consequences. You can live the life that you want to live. You can have as much sex as you want to have. You can do all of these things because there are no consequences. How true is that? It's not true. It's not true. You know, you can get AIDS when you're 13 as well as when you're 30, 40. You can still have these incredible consequences in your life. And, you know, one of the reasons why I do what it is that I do is because I want youth to know that there's a God who loves them, who cares about them. And yes, he's given them guidelines, but the guidelines are designed to protect their lives so they can enjoy life. And really be able to live the best life possible and not worrying about living a life where they will be dealing with regret because of choices that they have made. And so I really want to encourage you to look at your life. Look at what is it that you can do, the difference that you could make. How is God challenging you to invest your life to really begin to make a difference in the lives of others? So when God pricks that, when that comes up in your heart, maybe he's motivating you because he wants to work through you because there's an area that you can do something about it. You can do something about it. I want to ask you to do me a favor. Can you pull out your connection cards? It's in your bulletin. Can you pull that out? On the back of that connection card, there are three commitments that I want to encourage you to make as a result of today's message. Here's the first one. I commit to discovering the unhealthy ways I express my anger. If you mark that, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Because the question might be, how do I discover the unhealthy ways that I express my anger? Because the truth is, we have the uncanny knack of being able to trick ourselves and thinking we're better than what we really are, right? We do. So here's what I want to ask you to do if you make a commitment and you mark that. Go to the people who know you. Friends, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. People who really know you. Go to that person and ask this question. When I get angry, what are the things that I do that are unhealthy? Now, when they answer that question, here's the thing. You can't get angry. I don't do that. No. Put duct tape on the mouth. You know, sit on your hands. But really listen to what they have to say. Because they may see things in you that you don't see. And then promise them. Because when you ask that question, some of them might go, well, I don't know if I want to answer because they know you're going to get angry. We'll say, you know what? I promise I'm going to do the best I can to not get angry because I really want to work on this area of my life. And when people see that you mean that sincerely, they'll answer that question. And you might learn a lot about the ways that you deal with your anger. Here's the next one. I will learn to attack the problem rather than the person and move towards solution. In other words, I'm not going to just get caught up in quarreling. I'm going to really learn how to work together and move towards solution. Then here's the third one. I will discover my loving anger and get involved here at CBC so that I can make a difference. So that I can make a difference. So really make a commitment. Look at those areas of your life and really make a commitment to change. And if you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know what, Ken? I recognize my anger. I really want to make a commitment. I really want to deal with it. And so if you want to do that, right now I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I just want to ask you to repeat this prayer silently after me. Let's pray. Dear God, this morning I recognize that I really do have unhealthy ways of dealing with my anger. And so I really want to change that. I really want to move forward. Because God, I want to have great relationships, the kind of relationships that you have designed for me to be able to have. So God, today I make a commitment to deal with my anger. In your name I pray, amen. Now you also might be here this morning, and you might be thinking, why didn't I hear this a week ago? No. Why didn't I hear this a month ago? Because you're thinking about maybe some of the damage that you did when you got angry. And you're thinking, man, I realize that, and I really need to be forgiven. So here's where that forgiveness starts at. It starts in recognizing that God has forgiven you, and he desires to forgive you for the mistakes that you've made in your life. And so if you want forgiveness for the mistakes that you've made in your life, for the choices that you've made, for the things that you have done in your anger, let me lead us in a prayer. You can just repeat this prayer silently after me. Let's pray. Dear God, please forgive me for the mistakes that I have made. I am so sorry for the devastation that I have caused as a result of my anger. And so, God, I really want to move forward. But, God, ultimately, I know that if I am going to become that person who is healthy, I need your help to be able to do so. I've tried changing it on my own, and I've seen so many times how I've fallen short. And so now, God, I turn to you. Because I want to live this life in a way that honors you. And in a way, God, where I can have great relationships. And in your name I pray. Amen.